Have you ever been in a situation where God was at work, but the people around you didn't notice? Maybe they attributed what was happening to themselves or to some other force. Usually, the only people who appreciate and recognize what God is doing is those who are actively seeking to honor Him with their lives. Ruth and Boaz faithfully went about their daily duties and saw God work in powerful ways. This lesson is called No Such Thing as Chance.
Two widows now arrive in Bethlehem. One is a converted Moabite idolater named Ruth, and the other is this older Jewish woman, Naomi, from a leading family of Bethlehem. Now she's widowed as well and completely destitute. Ruth chapter 2 is where it all begins to turn around. Now, you know, somebody might read chapter 2 and say Ruth and Naomi were lucky with all these coincidences we're going to see. Oh, my friends, there's no such thing as a coincidence. There's no such thing as luck in life. What's happening here is the invisible orchestration of circumstances as God works all things together for good. Romans 8:28. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is good, but it tells us that God is fitting everything together for your good. And this chapter is going to highlight that invisible work of God's hand in the midst of very ordinary decisions. This is what theologians call God's providence. There are no voices from heaven. There's no writing in the sky, but God works through people and circumstances to accomplish His perfect plan for Ruth and Naomi. Now, chapter 2 opens with a hint that God is, in fact, at work. Verse 1 says, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." Now, that rather loaded verse tells us that Boaz is related to Naomi's late husband, so he's qualified to redeem or purchase Elimelech's property and marry Ruth, the widow of Elimelech's son. This is what the Old Testament teaches us as the law of the kinsman redeemer. Now in verse 4, Boaz goes out to his fields and he says to his field hands, "The Lord be with you." Now catch that. Here's a wealthy, godly farmer coming out to his fields and essentially telling his employees, "God bless you today as you work out here." Back in Leviticus chapter 23, God commanded farmers to leave the corners of their fields untouched at harvest time. Any grain the reapers missed or dropped, well, you had to leave that on the ground. This was God's provision for poor people and widows who trailed behind the reapers gleaning, that is, picking up the leftovers. You know, Boaz is probably one of the few farmers in these days of the judges who is actually obeying God's word. Verse 2 tells us, "Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz." Did you get that? She just happened to go into Boaz's field. You see, to Ruth, this is an ordinary decision. She walks over to this particular field, opens the gate, walks in. To the world, this would be really good luck. But God's Spirit is moving. He's moving Ruth's heart to decide, you know, I think I want to go into this field today. Now, she doesn't know it yet, but she just so happens to glean in the fields of her potential kinsman redeemer. And Boaz just so happens to come out to his fields that very same morning. Well, he quickly spots Ruth over there gleaning, and in verse 5, he asks one of his field hands, "Whose young woman is this?" The man replies here in verse 6, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Now, with that introduction, Boaz immediately knows he's the potential redeemer since he's related to Naomi's late husband. He also knows he has the legal right to purchase Naomi's family property and marry Ruth in the process. He evidently starts thinking about all that. In fact, he's wondering how to meet Ruth. Well, he eventually comes over to her with a little speech, and it's a thing of beauty. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Oh, Boaz is making sure Ruth doesn't go to any other field from then on. She's invited to drink from the company water cooler. He's already commanded his field hands to leave her alone. No wonder Ruth responds here in verse 10. "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" Boaz says in verse 11, "All that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land." See, Boaz is saying, "I know all about your suffering. I know all about your sorrow and sacrifices you've made to follow along with Naomi." But first and foremost, he's impressed with her personal testimony of faith in God. I love what he says next here in verse 12. "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." I love this. Boaz has just met Ruth, and he's already talking to her about God. Let me tell you, if you're dating somebody right now, here's your model. If that guy or girl doesn't talk to you about God, about the things of God early on, if they're not impressed with your testimony for Christ, please lace up your boots and run. Don't even look back. You need to make sure that anyone interested in you is actually more interested in God. Well, lunchtime arrives, and look who's waiting for Ruth here in verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." Boaz essentially asks her out to eat. I guess you could call this their first date. Well, it's a group date because all the field hands are there, but it's a start. And I want you to get this picture. Here's this poor widow, an outsider, a former idolater, invited to eat next to this godly, wealthy landowner. This is a picture, beloved, of God's grace. We are impoverished, destitute sinners invited to the banquet table of God's love and grace. Well, as soon as Ruth finishes eating and leaves, Boaz adds another surprise here in verse 15. Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Pull out some sheaves from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean." Boaz is telling them to drop stuff on purpose. You can only imagine Ruth gleaning out there, oblivious to what's been said behind the scenes on her behalf. And I got to just pull from this the truth that we're often oblivious to behind-the-scenes providential provision by God who's setting it up, setting the table to provide for our needs. We're told here in verse 17, "Then Ruth beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." That's around 25 pounds of grain. She has enough to feed herself and Naomi for a month. And when Ruth tells Naomi here in verse 19 that she gleaned in the fields of Boaz, Naomi says in verse 20, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." In other words, one look at all this grain and the mention of Boaz, and Naomi is hearing wedding bells already. Beloved, don't miss this. Boaz is a picture here of your Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at work right now on your behalf. There are no coincidences in life. Your life isn't left to luck or chance or fate. Let's ask Him to give us eyes to see, give us hearts to appreciate the grace of God at work as He unfolds His plans for our lives. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
I hope you'll put into practice what Stephen taught today. Nothing in your life happens by chance. And it's our prayer for you that you'll have the eyes to see the Lord at work. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is taking you through the entire Bible, all 66 books, with a new lesson each weekday. Subscribe to the Wisdom Journey on your favorite podcast app. And join us next time as we continue traveling through God's Word.